I want to say welcome back to our study in the book of Revelation. I'm Pastor Adrian Powell of Faith Community Church of God, 4203 Alkire Road in Grove City, Ohio. We have service on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. here at the church and are observing social distancing guidelines. We have masks and hand sanitizer available for you at the door, and we welcome everyone to our services. Hindsight is always said to be 2020. Excuse me. But with the way the world has been lately, with an increase in animosity, anger, antipathy, and antagonism, we need to look at what are the motivating factors that are causing this level of dissent. I mean, it's easy to chalk it up to just goings on in the world, but there's more to it than that. This is particularly true when we look at what are said to be the signs of his coming given by Jesus himself. So today, while we'll be touching on the subject of the book of Revelation, we will not be discussing any particular chapter in particular, but rather looking at what the Bible says elsewhere are the signposts to be watchful for to describe the end of the age. There's no better place to begin than in Matthew 24, where Jesus starts by giving the disciples a prophecy that they themselves could not believe. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that will not be thrown down." The center of Jewish life, the temple in Jerusalem, was their place of forgiveness, their continuity, and their place of connection with God and to God. Jesus is telling them here that this building that was so important to them will be totally destroyed, decimated, leaving not one stone left upon another. And we know from history that this took place in 70 AD when the Romans were putting down the Jewish rebellion and laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Excuse me. "Because of lawlessness, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come." Jesus was asked by the disciples three questions in one. When will these things be? What will be the sign of his coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the age? So Jesus tells them that many will come in his name, saying that they are the Christ. We get sidetracked by reading the text in English when the word there that's translated Christ can be also translated as the Anointed One. And we've seen many people refer to themselves as being one who was special, who was destined to be a leader, who has been anointed. Jesus tells us himself not to be deceived or sidetracked. Paul also tells them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, not to be deceived by things of the world. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Then wars, rumors of wars, famine, disease, earthquakes, nation against nation, all of this is just the beginning. And Paul tells us that the lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. And Jesus tells us that he who endures to the end, he will be saved. Again, Paul expands on this in a telling and frightful way from Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that sounds an awful lot like what the times are that we're living in. All manner of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. There are things that are being done today that the worst torturer could not have thought of. Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. All of these things we're seeing played out in our day. Then in 2 Timothy 3, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as it was of those two men. Verses 15 to 21 are generally thought of in Matthew, taking place at the time of the siege of Jerusalem, when those things actually did take place. But they could also take place again, because we have seen places in Scripture where there were dual fulfillments of prophecies. But moving on to verses 22 to 34, pay close attention. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. A few things here. In verse 28 of Matthew 24, it says, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagle will be gathered together. That word that's translated eagle also means a vulture. And we know that vultures gather wherever there are dead bodies. Immediately after the tribulation, the days will have the sun darkened and the moon will not give its light. Jesus tells the disciples to look at the fig tree and understand what's going on. When the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So too, Jesus has given these signs that we would know that the end is near. False anointed ones and false prophets are those that we see on a daily basis on television and on the radio, both in the political and religious world. There are far too many to mention who have sold their souls for wealth, fame, and access to power that are either politicians or religious broadcasters who are in bed with politicians and have turned their calling into a blank check. And regarding the Antichrist, 1 John tells us this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, so also ought to love one another. So also we ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, many of you may be asking the question, why is it that you're reading all these passages? Well, the reason I teach using long passages of scripture is because I don't want to give you my opinion on anything, but only what scripture says about these things. Because any person's opinion is subject to be wrong, but the word of God is always true. And we need to understand some things that we need to believe to be considered Christian. These are non-negotiable. Whoever desires to be saved should, above all, hold to the universal faith. Anyone who does not keep it whole and unbroken will doubtless perish eternally. Now, this is the universal faith, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, not dividing their essence. For the person of the Father is a distinct person. The person of the Son is another. and the person of the Holy Spirit still another. But the divinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal. This is the basic, the opening of the Athanasian Creed. You're welcome to join us for our Sunday school at 9:30, Sunday morning worship at 10:30, and of course, Bible study Wednesday evening at 6:30 on Facebook Live. Pray for me as we continue to pray for one another, our nation, and the world. Tell someone you know about our Facebook Live feed and Bible study and our services. And may the peace of God dwell richly in your hearts and minds until we are received by Christ Jesus. Amen.